Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. As we have our special meetings this coming up weekend, I wanted to go over Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, just in preparation for this weekend. For us personally, just preparing ourselves for what the Lord will do on Saturday night as well as on Sunday. Obviously, every time that the Word of God is opened, we anticipate for God to speak to our hearts. And we need to always be prepared for the Lord to speak to our hearts. Again, we live in a world that is constantly pulling at us indirectly, directly, trying just to dampen our spirits, to weaken our faith, to get our focus off the Lord. And we've always got to strive to get closer to the Lord, always working our relationship with the Lord, because God never moves. God is stationary. He's always right where he's at, but we often, if we're not careful, can move away from the Lord, sometimes without even knowing it, just because of business of life, things, they get in the way, and we've got to just get focused and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. So looking at Colossians chapter 3, and let's see, where do I want to start? Because we'll be in verse 16 and 17. Let's start at verse 1, and we'll read all the way down to verse 17. So Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse number 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the time we can have together tonight. Thank you for the safety you gave your people as they traveled in. Father, I ask that you would bless our time tonight, that you would take away all distractions. Lord, distractions of our own minds. Lord, help us to be focused on you tonight. I pray that you give us ears to hear, a heart to receive. I pray, Father, that you would teach the children tonight as well, that you'd open up their heart to the truth of your word. And Lord, help them have fun with the games, whatever they're doing in Kid Venture. But Lord, most importantly, we ask the word of God would take root in their hearts. And Father, we ask the same for us as well. The word of God would continue to take root in our heart, bringing forth much fruit in our lives. Lord, helping us to be more conformed into the image of Christ, helping us to always keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, helping us to continue to move forward in our life and in our walk with you. Father, I ask that you would please bless our time, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, just really thinking about this coming up weekend, Saturday and Sunday, with evangelist Calvin Allen, and just what the Lord will do and speak through the messages that he will preach. And as always, I mean, with every church service that you ever and I ever attend, we always want to have our hearts ready. We always want to be anticipating the Lord speaking to us. I'm sure that is the way you are. Even when you open up your Bible on a daily basis, you are anticipating, expecting God to speak to you. And that's really what we need. We need the Lord to continue to speak to us, to continue to guide us. We need to continue believing in God's word, trusting God's word, never believing the lies of the world that there is error in God's word. I believe, probably as well as you believe, that God's given us his perfect word. There's no question about it. I don't have to go and try to find a newer copy of God's word. I don't have to try to figure out, you know, which is the best translation. I believe that God's given us his word. He's proven it in my own personal life where the word of God has changed me. It's opened my eyes, giving the wisdom that I need. So there's no doubt in my mind I've got the word of God. Others will debate that, and that's fine with them. That just means they're not settled in their heart. And we have to be settled in our heart about these issues, and we have to be settled in our minds as well, just like Daniel, who purposed in his heart that he was not going to let anything come between him and his relationship with God. He wasn't going to let anything defile that. He guarded it, and we need to guard our relationship as well. As Paul writes to the church at Colossae, again, just as I even read, in the beginning, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. I'm glad that we have an advocate that is always praying for us. He's always interceding for us. He's always guiding us. He's always doing a work in our life, because remember, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So we have an advocate who we can always look to, and we have a Savior that we can always count on, and we have a friend that we know is always there for us. So when you get down to verses 16 and 17, as Paul encourages the believers there at Colossae, just in verse 1, he just encourages them with the word of God. And honestly, we never need to get tired of the word of God. The devil has never gotten tired of attacking the word of God. He's never gotten tired of questioning the word of God. From day one in the Garden of Eden, where he comes down and he tempts Adam and Eve and says, thus saith the Lord, up until this moment tonight, he has never tired of attacking God's word. And we should never get tired of listening to God's word, reading God's word, and being guided by God's word. Because as Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. We know that the word of God guides us, and we need God's guidance in our lives today. We need God to encourage us. We need the wisdom that we get through God's word. Again, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I mean, just a couple of things about God's word. We know that God's word is infallible. It's infallible and it's delightful. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When you think about just that word infallible, the fact that there's no error in God's word. You probably have had other books in your lifetime that you found where there was misprints, words that were left out, just different things in books that were just incomplete. But when you think about having a copy of God's word, a book that was inspired by God, a book that God used men to pen his own words down, the fact is that there's no error in it because God was involved in preserving his written word so that we as God's children and the followers of Christ would have something to guide us through our life and guide us on our journey as we walk with the Lord daily. But the fact that there's no error in God's word, you and I are never misled. Nobody will ever be misled by God's word. And God's word is always true. So no error, never being misled, and always being told the truth. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. We know that God's word is pure, and we can trust God and we can trust his word because his word guides us. And like Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We need to continue seeking God's guidance in our lifetime. We need to continue seeking God's will and seeking God's wisdom, never questioning God. Even if we don't understand, if you ever come across a verse or a set of verses, a passage that just doesn't quite make sense to you, ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Ask God to help you to understand and continue reading, because the best commentary of the Bible is the Bible. The Bible will explain itself because it's God's word, and God is not going to keep us in the dark. He wants us to be guided by the light of his word. But every word of God is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Not only is God's word not infallible, we can trust it because it'll never lead us astray. Everything in life, every detail of our life, everything that we face, every problem of life, all the answers are in the word of God. You know that, I know that, but sometimes we can misguide ourselves in thinking, well, I've got the answer to that, instead of going to the word of God and asking God to show us. Again, we live in a day and age where the word of God is still discredited, still not trusted, still not followed, even though someone may have it in their hand, yet they still struggle with whether or not they can trust the word of God for the 21st century. And we have found that, yes, we can still trust the word of God even for the 21st century, because God has not changed and his word has not changed. And because his word has not changed, it is delightful. We find delight in God's word. Take your Bibles, go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Because you think about just the fact that God's word is delightful, it brings joy to the soul like no other book can. We can be inspired by other books. We can be encouraged by other books. We can be motivated by other books. But the word of God brings joy to the soul. It brings encouragement day in and day out. In Psalm chapter 1, when you look at verse number 1, it just says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Again, the fact that there's no error in God's word, but there is delight. We find delight. And allow yourself to continue to find delight in God's word, because God's word is satisfying, it's fulfilling. It brings joy to the soul, like I said. It gives us the insight that we need, the wisdom that we need. God will never lead us astray. If you ever want to know if something's right or wrong, God's word has the answer for it. There's still people that struggle with that. There's still people that think that, some things are right when according to scripture and God's word, it's completely wrong. It's just whatever answer we need in life, God's word has the answer for it. We just have to seek it. We have to want it. And we have to ask God to guide us. So just right off the bat, God's word is infallible. God's word will always lead us in the right direction. And it's delightful. It brings joy to the heart, knowing that God is guiding us and his word has never changed, and that we can trust in the word of God and even hide ourselves in the word of God. But I want you to go back to Colossians chapter 3, because you know that about the Lord. But moving on, I want us to think about just the name of Christ. Again, whether we're sitting for our daily devotions, whether it's a Wednesday night service, a Sunday service, Sunday school, always seeking the Lord, always wanting God to speak to our hearts through his word, but also reminding ourselves that we do have a name that is above every name, a name that we associate with, a name that we bear as Christians. And in Colossians chapter 3, when you look at verse 17, he says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So when you look at Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 11. But just thinking about the name that we are to honor. The name that we are to honor, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Again, I know I've talked about this before, but again, names are important. And in every family, in my family, the last name being Middleton, I want my kids to, represent our family well. I don't want, to have to go down to the police station and bail one of my kids out because they decided to, steal some things from a store. The story of George Mueller, who did just that, who was a rebellious young man, and he ended up in jail for one crime, and his father came and got him out of jail, and his father was already in his, I believe, in his 70s, and whipped his son, George Mueller, who was 21 at the time, took his cane, whipped him from the police station all the way home because he was a disgrace to the Mueller name. He was taking the name of the family name, and just dragging it through the mud. But listen, we bear a name that's more precious than an earthly family name, and that name is Christ. That name is Christian. But the fact is that that name means something to us because there's power in the name of Christ. There's honor in the name of Christ. There's salvation in the name of Christ. There's comfort in that name. There's encouragement in that name. There is salvation in that name. There's redemption in that name. There's a friend in that name, and it's a name to honor. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other than the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I mean, again, tonight I just want to remind us that God's given us something that will encourage our soul, something that will guide us, something that will give us answers to life in his word, but also he's given us a name to bear, the name that we have put our faith and trust in, that being Jesus Christ. And you look at Acts chapter 11. Look at Acts chapter 11. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. I know some may be ashamed of that, and they don't want to stand out as a Christian, but it's a name to bear. You think about just even in Acts chapter 11, and you look at verses 25 through 26. And the Bible says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church there at Antioch and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." And we understand that obviously they were Christ followers. They were called Christians at first. First at Antioch, and it was supposed to be a derogatory name, but it was a wonderful name to bear. Again, everywhere we go, people should know that we are a Christian. Remember, when Peter and John are brought before the religious rulers because of the man that was healed there at the temple, when Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, they looked at them and said, you know, they're ignorant men, but they took notice they'd been with Jesus. We should stick out. God's people should stick out like sore thumbs. We should be separate. The Bible does say, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. There should be something distinct about us. And I believe if we are following the word of God, and the word of God is dwelling richly in our hearts, and we're following the word of God, we're trusting the word of God, we're living for the Lord, then it's going to show. It's going to show that there's something different about us, but people do need to know that we are Christians and never forget the reason why you are a Christian, and that is because of Jesus Christ. Why is this weekend so important? Why was last Sunday evening so important? Last Sunday, as we celebrated the Lord's table, as we partook in communion, it was so special. And so important because of what it represents. It represents Christ who died for us, who gave us his word. And we can read the Gospels. We can read the teachings of Christ that will help us, encourage us, let us see that, you know what, if Christ can heal a lame man, if Christ can help someone who's demon-possessed be delivered, then he can definitely help me as well, whatever I'm faced with. The giants that come into our life are no match for our Savior because he holds the keys of death and hell. He conquered the grave for us, and we have victory because of Jesus Christ. It's a name to honor, and we are to honor Christ in all things. Again, go back and look, if you're not there, in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and you look at verse 17. All right, it's a name to honor. It's a name to bear. Again, as a representative, if somebody's a salesperson, they're representing their company, they're trying to sell the products of that company, they want to represent that company well because they're bearing the name of that company. But we're bearing the name of Christ. We have something to offer that's far better than any any commercial item, any retail item, and that is Christ. And we are to honor Christ. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now again, as Paul even says in 1 Corinthians, whether you eat, drink, or whatsoever you do, it's whatever you do in your life. Everything we do should bring honor to the Lord. Everything we do, we should always think about Christ. How can I honor Christ in this way? And again, he uses just the day-to-day life, and that's eating and drinking, you know, being around people, even how we eat and drink. I mean, being thankful for what God's given us, because God has given us the power to become the sons of God. He's given us a new life in Christ. He's given us his word to guide us. He's given us a name to bear. And that name obviously brings comfort and peace into our hearts and into our minds. And again, we've got to keep our focus on these things even as we continue on in this life, even as we continue to see things progressing in this life towards the end, yet we can still be encouraged that, you know what, we've got the answer, we've got the truth, it's never failed, it's never misled us, and we bear the name that brings so much comfort and peace and guidance into our life. But I want you to think about what he says in verse 17. He says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, whatsoever you do in word or deed, we are to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ. We're to honor the Lord in what we say and in what we do. What we say and what we do are to match up. What we say and what we do are to match up. Our life is to match up to what we say. Again, you know, you probably know people that what they say doesn't match up to what they do. But as God's people, no one should be able to find a fault in us when it comes to our relationship with Christ, when it comes to our living for the Lord, honoring Christ in all things. And we can't do it without the Lord. I want you to look at Matthew chapter 12 in regards to honoring Christ in our words. Matthew chapter 12. God is not a man that he should lie. God is all truth. God is the source of truth, and God expects us to be true in our words. God does not believe in little white lies, as some Christians do. And I have had Christians look me right in the face and tell me a bald-faced lie, and I knew it was a lie, and they weren't even bothered by it. And they even use the excuse, well, I didn't want somebody else to find out what I was doing. Okay, there's no excuse for lying. A lie is a lie. God hates lying, and you'll find that in Proverbs chapter 6. But in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says to the religious rulers of the day, he says, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the Lord says, what's in the heart does come out of the mouth. Again, there was a day in my own lifetime before I was saved that cursing was a part of my vocabulary. It seemed like every other word was a curse word in my life. And that's exactly what was in my heart. And when I would get angry at times, things would come out of my heart that did not need to be in there and should not have been in there. But again, as Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Somebody can only hide and pretend so much. And eventually what's in the heart comes out. Again, remember, Jesus talks about sheep or wolves in sheep's clothing. They kind of look like a sheep. They kind of bad like a sheep. But eventually, the wolf comes out. You can only pretend for so long. And when the word of God is dwelling richly in our heart, then guess what? Our heart is being purified by the water of God's word. Our mind is being washed by the truth of God's word, by the cleansing of God's word. God truly does want us to be brainwashed because we live in a society, we live in a world. Again, no matter where you go, you hear things, you see things. And God wants the Word of God to cleanse our heart. He doesn't want things to latch on to our heart and to stay in our hearts, to fester and to bring forth things that are dishonoring to Him, because we are to be honoring the Lord with our speech. Colossians 4 and verse 6 says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." But notice he says, "Let your speech be always with grace." Always with grace, ready to be gracious to somebody, ready to show somebody kindness with our speech. Sometimes people need just an encouraging word. They just need someone to encourage them with their word. And honestly, I mean, I've had people say things to me, and I could tell just by the tone of their voice they didn't really mean it, or, you know, it was just something you said. Because sometimes you think about, sometimes when somebody asks you, you know, "How you doing?" "Oh, good." But you're really not doing good. There's just something going on. I mean, again, our speech, we have to think about every aspect of our life. How can I honor Christ? Am I honoring Christ? And again, if we are seriously giving ourselves to the Word of God, meditating on God's Word, finding delight in God's Word, then we will have peace where we're not offended. We'll have peace in our life. We'll have the joy of the Lord in our heart. And we will have the focus of honoring the Lord in all that we do and all that we say. And again, he says, you know, in word and deed. So not just in what we say. And again, can somebody say something nice without meaning it? Yes. Can somebody give without truly loving? Yes. But if we have the Word of God dwelling richly in our heart, even though we are faced with our own struggles and our own trials, yet we can respond in a Christ-like manner and Christ-like speech because the Word of God is dwelling richly in our heart. We find delight in God's Word. We find joy through the Word of God and in our relationship with Christ. And we ask the Lord, "Lord, help me," because even though there's times where I really want to give somebody a piece of my mind, I've got to bite my tongue and be gracious. And Lord, you'd want me to do this, so please help me to say gracious words. And that comes to our actions as well, because he says, in word and in deed. I want you to look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Again, that's why even on this past Sunday night, gave a few moments for everyone to examine themselves, not necessarily whether or not they were saved or not, but that's definitely important, but to examine ourselves to see if there was anything between us and our Savior. Was there anything I had done, anything I had said that I did not repent from and ask the Lord for forgiveness? Because again, when we partake in the Lord's table, when we take that communion, we want to have things right with the Lord. We don't want to harbor bitterness, unforgiveness in our heart. We don't want to have done something wrong that was a disgrace to the name of Christ that we did not repent of, that we did not feel guilty about. We did not ask the Lord for forgiveness, and then just come and, you know, just partake in the Lord's communion like it never happened. All right? Because sometimes people are like that, people that do you wrong, then they come back and they act like nothing happened. They act like nothing was said. They didn't do anything wrong. And yet you know they did, and you're wanting them to, you know, fess up to it. You're wanting them to ask for forgiveness. You're wanting them to make it right. And when we have the Word of God dwelling richly in our heart, the Word of God with the Holy Spirit ministering to our heart and moving in our life helps us to see where things are not right with God. Again, even though somebody may deserve my harsh tone or my words because they did something wrong, yet I have to be reminded of myself as well as you that, you know what, whatever I do or say to the person who really doesn't care, it's going to affect my relationship with him. And that's the relationship I want to remain intact. That's the relationship I want to continue to find delight in and not be hindered in any way. And when you think about the things we say and the things that we do, we've got to be mindful of that. Will people, family member or non-family member, say or do something that is not always right? And the answer is yeah, especially if they're lost. They're not going to do and say things that are right. They'll sometimes try to even maybe start a fight. But we as God's people have to rely upon the Lord and walk in the Spirit so that we will continue to honor Christ in all that we do and that they will see that Christ truly is a part of our life and important to us and that we truly are the children of God. Again, indeed, honoring Christ in all that we say and do. James chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Again, God, through James, pens these words, deceiving your own selves. God doesn't want us to be deceived. Remember, the devil is a deceiver, and he deceives many, but God does not want us to be deceived. He wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, the Bible says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Again, it's one thing to say you love somebody. It's another thing to do something to show that you love. Again, like I said before, we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. God's love, that charity, that unconditional, sacrificial love is what God wants us to show to others. But again, it's all about honoring Christ. How can I honor the Lord? How can I honor the Lord in all my relationships? Whether it's my marriage, whether it's my relationship with my children, other family members, co-workers, friends, neighbors, how can I honor God? And again, that should be on our hearts and minds as we are walking through the Scriptures, as we're living through the Scriptures, as we're finding delight in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to guide our steps. Again, how will they even ask us and know to ask us about the hope that lies within us unless they see something different? Again, like Paul sitting in jail with Silas after being beaten for their faith, how did the Philippian jailer even know to spring in after the earthquake and ask them, "What must I do to be saved?" How did he know to even ask that? He had never seen these men before until that day they were thrown into prison. So again, there has to be a difference in our life because we're bearing the name of Christ. We are living through the Scriptures. We're allowing the Word of God to dwell richly in our heart. We're thinking about the most important name that I have. I mean, just having the title pastor really means nothing without truly Christ helping me be a pastor and helping me to fulfill the role. So the greatest name that I bear is not pastor, but it's Christ. It's Christian. It's being a child of God. And then lastly, I want you to think about, look at Colossians 3, the last part of verse 17. Again, as we think about just the infallible Word of God and how much delight it brings to us and how much we love to bear the name of Christ and honor the Lord in all that we do, that we remember to give thanks to the Lord. And we think about, again, all of this, thinking about this coming up weekend, thinking about last Sunday, this coming up weekend with the special meetings, and wanting God to speak to us, wanting God to continue to use us and to guide us. And as we continue to even thank the Lord and to respond to him with gratitude for what he's doing in our life. When he says in verse 17, "Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him being Jesus Christ." But giving thanks to God, I believe that we need to continue to be grateful for the things that God allows into our life, the good and the bad. I'm very grateful for all the good things, and honestly, sometimes I have to make myself be grateful for the hard times, for the things that happen that you pray and ask the Lord, you know, why this happened, keep it from happening, yet God uses everything in our life for good, and we can thank him even for the hardships, because honestly, for most people, for most Christians, what helps us to draw close to God is the hard times. Because through the good times, we've learned that God is good and God is faithful. But through the hard times and through the trials, we learned, you know what? God never leaves us nor forsake us. He's always there. He's got the answer. He has the grace for us, and we can be grateful in the things that God does. The fact that, Lord, thank you for allowing me to bear the name of Christ. Thank you for allowing me to have a copy of your word, because I know there are Christians in other country that would die to have what I have. They may have a piece of paper with a partial verse written down on it, and that's all they have, but they cherish that little portion of scripture that they have. And yet we have in our hands tonight a complete book, a complete copy of God's word, and if we're not careful, we end up neglecting it at times because, well, we've got certain verses that are favorites to us, and maybe we reread those, but we've got to be grateful. God's given us the whole scriptures. There's nothing we're missing. God's given us the complete word of God to guide us in this life and to help us along life's journey. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. God allowed us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints. He has allowed us to be heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, giving thanks to the Father that, Lord, you made this possible. You've given me my life. You made it possible that I could be a child of God. You made it possible that I could even hear your voice, have the Spirit of God dwelling within me. God, you made it possible because nothing we did in and of ourselves made it possible that we could even come boldly before the throne room of grace and ask for help in time of need. Ephesians 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? Thank you, Lord, that this coming Saturday and Sunday we have some special meetings and we're looking forward to what you're going to speak to our hearts about. Being thankful for everything that God allows. As an American Christian, speaking of myself, we have to really think about things to be grateful for. Now, in the last year and a half, going on 2 years now, you know, we found some things to be grateful for our freedom. And the fact that, you know what, even though people want to take away our freedom, that we can, you know what, sometimes, we don't realize how good we have it until it's gone. Sometimes people don't realize how good they had it, what it is that they had that was good until it's gone. I believe that the day is coming when God's word will be illegal in this country. And then there will be many Christians that will realize, you know what, that was something that I should have took more notice of, something I should have cared more about, loved more. Because growing up in America, we have become desensitized to the fact that, well, you know, all this just comes with freedom. This is just something that I'll always have. But then when it's taken away, I just want to say that living in America has been good, but it has also caused many Christians not to appreciate what they have, and instead they want to debate what they have versus something else, instead of just taking what God's given them and allow it to change their life and to be grateful for what God has given. I know there are others that could testify of the truth of that we truly have something that's very precious, and that is the Word of God. And we've got to be grateful for what God has given us. Are there things in our life we can complain about? Absolutely. I could probably take this sheet of paper and fill it up with all kinds of things that, Lord, can you take that out? I don't like that. I don't like that. I mean, you know what? There should be multiple pages that we could use and write down all the things that we're grateful for that God's done for us and is doing for us and has provided for us. So again, when you think about just even going into a weekend like we're coming up to, just being grateful that God, you have raised up somebody as an evangelist, because you look in Scripture, God gave some evangelists, some missionaries, some pastors and teachers. I mean, there are certain men that God raises up and uses them to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God, encourage God's people with the Word of God. And we ought to be thankful that God does that, that God calls those who he can use, but also thank the Lord that, you know what, God's given me ears to hear. I'm glad that as a pastor, I can still hear God's voice when I'm talking. I can still hear God's voice speaking to my heart, because I want God to speak to my heart. We can be thankful that God's given us spiritual ears and a heart to receive the truth of his word, but what do we do with it? What are we doing with it? What are we doing with what God is speaking to our hearts about each and every day through his word? And even like he says, you go back to Colossians chapter 3, and you think about what he says there at the end. He says, giving thanks to God and the Father by him, speaking of Jesus Christ. The fact that we have access to the mercy seat. We have access to the Father because of Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 10. And honestly, it's not a one-time thank you, Lord. It should be something that we're grateful for all the time, that, Lord, you've given me the ability to come boldly before the throne of grace. I can come to you. Lord, I don't have to go through a man. I don't have to confess my sins to some man who cannot forgive me of my sins. But, Lord, I can come directly to you. And you as a heavenly Father, spiritually taking me up onto your lap to embrace me, to encourage me, to talk to me. It's a wonderful thing to thank the Lord for. In Hebrews chapter 10, you look at verse 19 through 22. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. I mean, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh. I mean, think about this. In the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, God's people couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. They couldn't go before the Ark of the Covenant. They couldn't go before that mercy seat that was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. All they could do was bring their sacrifices to the priests and hope the priests do it right. And they were trusting the priests would take their sacrifice it on the altar, the high priest taking the blood and going behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. I mean, I'm sure there were many, many of God's people desiring to go back there and to see the glory of the Lord, because God's glory would descend upon that mercy seat. But you and I have the privilege to go boldly before the throne of grace in prayer. The fact that we can go directly to the Lord because Jesus Christ, his veil, I mean, his flesh was torn for us on the cross of Calvary, and literally in that temple on the day that Christ cried out, "It is finished," that veil was rent from top to bottom by God, making the way of access for us to come before the Lord. And there, not having to rely on a high priest, but you and I could go boldly before the Lord and just talk with the Lord and pour out our prayers and petitions and supplications to the Lord. He goes on to say, "And having a high priest over the house of God, being Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." The fact that you and I have the privilege to go before the Lord, that's something we should never take lightly. That's something I believe we should never just think of, you know, in the mindset of, well, I'm just going before somebody. But it should be something that we're always grateful for, that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the heaven of the host of heaven, God himself, the creator, my redeemer, my savior, I get to go to him in prayer. I get to spend time with him. And the fact that everything that he has allowed in my life, good and bad, is for my growth, for my spiritual growth, to help me to get closer to him, to grow in my faith, and everything he allows in my life, whether it's a pastor, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a friend in Christ who encourages me in the Lord. Be thankful for those that God has in your life and my life that encourage us in the Word of God. Even if we ever hear a message, you know, I'd rather hear something different. Because not all the messages are the same. Not just talking about just not me speaking, just messages that God has in his churches. People teaching and preaching. The fact that, you know, again, God's given us of his word. And until the Lord takes us home, we should be grateful for what God is doing in our life and be grateful that God allows us to have spiritual ears to hear and eyes to see. Because remember, Elisha's servant couldn't see the heavenly host in the mountains. All he could see was a Syrian army surrounding them, and he was afraid, but Elisha wasn't. Elisha prayed and asked the Lord, "Lord, open up his eyes so he can see there's more with us than them." Sometimes we need God to open our eyes. Lord, help me to see your goodness. Help me to see, Father, your plan in this situation. What is it you want me to do? How am I supposed to respond to what you're doing in my life and what you're saying in any given message? And being excited in the fact that God is still speaking. I love the fact that, you know what, if they were to take all my Bibles and take all the apps off my phone where I could not read the Word of God, yet I have Scripture hidden in my heart that I can still meditate upon it. I still meditate upon the Lord and his Word. Go very quickly, go to Psalm 1 again. I'll read the entire chapter of Psalm 1. We're living in the days that the Bible talks about. We're living in that Laodicean age where just the things of God just are not important. Not saying to the people in here, but throughout Christianity, it just seems like the things of God are not that important anymore. But yet God's word still says, because we can easily be led astray. We can easily believe a lie that seems so true. And yet the Bible says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Honestly, we have to ask the Lord, "Lord, help me to continue delighting in your word. Help me, Lord, to continue being encouraged by your word and even hungering and thirsting after your word." In verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The word of God is what's going to make us stand strong and be steadfast in our faith. The word of God is what's going to help us to grow and to help us to be Christ-like in what we say and what we do. It's going to help us to even shine for Christ, because you know what tree it is by its fruit. You know an apple tree because it's bearing apples. You know an orange tree because it's bearing oranges. You know a pecan tree because it's bearing pecan. You know the tree, what it is, by its fruit. Verse 4, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Again, just encouraging us tonight just to stand strong and steadfast in what we know is true. Continue seeking the Lord. Continue allowing yourself to delight in the word of God, finding comfort, finding direction. The fact that we bear the name of Christ, and as long as we're grateful, I think, having the gratitude daily of what God has done for us on the cross of Calvary through Jesus Christ, what he has done throughout our life, will help us to stay close to the Lord, help us to continue to enjoy the things that God has for us and to seek the Lord every time the Word of God is opened. Again, let yourself draw a circle around yourself. Examine yourself. Lord, where can I grow? Where am I lacking? What is it in my life that, Lord, is keeping me from even moving forward, keeping me from even enjoying more of my relationship with you? Because someone who has given over to Facebook, where that's their entire life, or Twitter, or just the internet, or just things that are not of God, is there anything wrong with Facebook? There are some bad things with Facebook, but there's some good things because you can keep up with family members. But again, we as humans can go overboard. We can take something and make it our entire life and completely exclude the Lord. I believe in the days we're living, we need to get closer to the Lord, and the more that we try to get closer to the Lord, the more the devil's going to resist, the more the devil's going to fight. And we have to be determined and purposed in our heart like Daniel. I'm not going to let anything get in between my relationship with God, because I value that more than anything. And if my relationship is right with God, then I can have right relationships. I can do things according to God's will correctly in this world. Even though the world may be against the things of God, yet Daniel was able to be a shining light, just like Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine. How can my light shine? It's Christ in me, but I have to obviously give myself 100% to him and to the things of God. Again, let's pray, and we'll take up some prayer requests. Father,